Madison, Wisconsin is as good as it gets.
It's all about the Badgers.
Go Badgers!
Go Badgers! Go Badgers!
Games like this is what really separates college football from everything else.
Open up the history books. Here comes Rondell.
That was J.J. Watt, and what a story this young man is.
Gordon again! What a performance by Melvin Gordon!
And the pass rush gets home for the Badgers.
Camp Randall lets it roar.
This is ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day, brewed by Coors Light on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
It's ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day, brewed by Coors Light. 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, the ESPN Wisconsin app, live video streaming on the ESPN Madison and ESPN Milwaukee YouTube channels, live from headquarters in Oregon. That's Wisconsin. The Wisconsin Badgers getting ready to play the Ducks in Oregon. That's the state. And yes, we're going to make that joke probably for the next 2 hours because that's a lot more fun than talking about what we're getting ready for tonight on ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day. Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jesse Delson, joined by former Wisconsin Badgers punter, Big Ten champion Brad Nortman. And Brad, this is the first time you and I are together in person for this show since before the season kicked off.
Now that is why. What a season it has been at that. A lot's changed. Excitement, morale, and expectations have plummeted. There's a new Nortman, at least breathing and having a heartbeat, as I say, walking the face of this earth, but he is certainly not walking. So a lot's changed in the last, 7 or 8 weeks, but it's good to see you in person, Jesse Nelson. We're going to try to keep morale high because morale in Madison, Wisconsin, if you're a Badger fan or on the Badger team, is quite low.
I know your morale is low. I know my morale is low. I know, generally speaking, Badger fan morale is not very positive at this given time.
Yes.
But we have a game to look forward to tonight. In Eugene, for the first time as Big Ten opponents, Wisconsin's first trip to Oregon to play a game against the Ducks since 2001 when Joey Harrington was the starting quarterback at Oregon. A lot has changed since then, including the fact that these two are now in the same conference. So, Wisconsin and Oregon, the line is 31.5, and the over-under is set for 44.5. So that means the odds makers are expecting roughly a 38-7 game.
Ah, well, that the 7 points gets me excited, I'm not going to lie. After not just two games, but truly 11 quarters of scoreless football from the Wisconsin Badgers. And you know what? It's you talk about this matchup. You talk about Wisconsin playing Oregon. And when the Big Ten expanded to bring in UCLA and USC and Oregon and Washington, it's matchups like this that I was like, oh, baby, we're going to have the big old matchups. We're going to be ranked Wisconsin, taking on these ranked, you know, old Pac-12 teams. It's going to be, you know, Titans clashing, different types of approaches to the game, Wisconsin physicality, Oregon speed. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be wonderful. I can't wait for Saturdays like that. And then this is the product we're dealt with. And it is ironic that when I think about Wisconsin-Oregon, yes, they played last year, but generally speaking, I think about the Rose Bowl appearances, right? I think about my senior year when we played Oregon in the Rose Bowl. And then it was, what, the 2019 Rose Bowl when the Badgers played Oregon? And then you have Justin Herbert and whatnot. And it's strange to compare this team and this matchup today to those matchups back then, right? Wisconsin had a phase. They had a season where they were able to compete with the Oregons of the world and the top-tier opponents of the world. And now in direct comparison, it is nothing but a lopsided match where you're just trying to hope that Wisconsin hangs in there and keeps it respectable along the way. It's just it's an interesting way to benchmark this team and feel truly how far they've fallen from grace.
ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day is presented by Coors Light. When you need to refresh on game day, choose a beer as cold as the Rockies. Cold filtered, cold lagered, cold packaged for peak refreshment. When the mountains are blue, you know what to do. Let's crush a Coors Light. 2025 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. The Coors Light's flowing here at headquarters, bar and grill, in Oregon, an outstanding establishment. If you have a chance to come on out here in Oregon, watch the game tonight. We don't get out from any pregame shows anymore. Like, you know, a lot of primetime games, we do that, but I don't want primetime games last couple of seasons. So we're always excited when we get a chance to get out, be among the people here for the pregame party. Corey Sparks, Riley Elka have you covered for the postgame show tonight immediately after the final whistle. I'm sure they're going to have just a wonderful time reacting to the result of this game tonight. 844-770-3776 is the Carbless ESPN Wisconsin talk and text line. List is more. That's your way into the show at 844-770-3776. Brad, you are one of many who have been outspokenly critical of the state of Wisconsin football. I've heard you guys on Kyle Bruston-Nortman weekday afternoons at 2 o'clock on ESPN. Wisconsin is when it starts each day. You guys have certainly talked quite a bit about the state of the program, about where things stand under head coach Luke Fickell in this third season, and the fact that Wisconsin is among the three teams in college football who have been shut out in back-to-back games this year. Are you aware of who the other two are?
Oh, I did see it. I know Akron and Ball State.
Akron and Ball State. Yep, a couple of MAC schools. The other two schools that have been shut out in back-to-back games this year. And Wisconsin's the third.
And not only that, we did a little digging, and I believe the research reflected that it's only been a handful of times in college football history where a Division I college football team has been shut out in three straight games. I believe last time was 1977, Virginia Tech maybe. And before then, it was Dartmouth and another school named Benson, I believe. So
Benson,
To get blown out and go scoreless in three straight games is truly a rare feat. And, you know, you're right. I have been critical of the program. I spent four wonderful years as a Wisconsin Badger player, a fan before that and a fan after that. And so I just look at what this program is now, and it just felt like in the previous 2 years under Luke Fickell. Now, we know things weren't roses in the last couple of years, last year specifically of Paul Chryst, but you know, we were sold that this team would be a championship caliber program, right? Like what Wisconsin has done in the past wasn't good enough, that we need to be more in the championship conversation, but we have only grown further away from that. And I guess I felt like last year, 5-7, missing a bowl game, I felt firmly at the time that must be the low water mark. Like there's no way Wisconsin program in my lifetime could be, you know, worse than 5-7. That could be literally the worst team in the Big Ten. And, you know, talking about everything that happened with Phil Longo and the transformation of that offense, and then Coach Fickell hiring Coach Grimes, I thought, okay, well, we're going to turn things around. Jesse, it's got significantly worse. I mean, you didn't think that Phil Longo hire, like, okay, this is a chance for Coach Fickell to reset, to remake things. He's kind of on a warm seat. Okay, maybe this new guy will infuse some life and some creativity and some efficiency into the offense. Well, it's gotten significantly worse, and that is reflected in a putrid offense and going 11 straight quarters without scoring a point. So not only that, since this week, I sort of not went viral, but I kind of went viral about criticizing Coach Fickell.
It's okay. It's better. You can pat yourself on the back. It's a job well done.
And not connecting with alum, not connecting with boosters, not connecting with Wisconsin high school coaches, Wisconsin football players. And everything that I'd heard reflected that, so I went on air very confident of that. And I wondered how it was going to be received. And I've gotten a lot of uninstigated direct messages, text messages, things like that, of people saying, you nailed it. Like that's what we're hearing too. That's what we're experiencing as well. All but one head football coach, who one guy did say, yes, actually, I'm satisfied with what the program is and their presence in our program. Okay. But every other one I talked to, whether it be parents of people that went through this or other high school coaches or people that just are in the know with how things are flowing, said that is accurate. So, Coach Fickell can spearhead this program however he wants, right? He has the total freedom to do that. But when you struggle, and if you struggle, if you haven't made those connections, if you haven't gotten close with the boosters, the community, the alum, the high school coaches, the high school players, the fans, then don't expect a lot of patience when things go south. I think that's where I've landed. Is like, you know what? He can do whatever he wants, and that's quite okay, right? He can make this program however he wants. However, if you haven't made those connections, then this is how the response is going to be when things go bad. Maybe if it was the exact carbon copy, if Jim Leonard was the coach but was doing all those things and he's sort of a son of Wisconsin, maybe we'd be operating with a lot more patience. But because that's not done and the product on the field struggles, then this is the sort of reception you're going to get when things go so badly.
That is the state of affairs right now. That's very well said, Brad. And as someone who has obviously been in connection with a bunch of high school coaches around the state, and you mentioned all the conversations you've had, and as a former player of the program, I think it carries more magnitude for people to hear that from you. No offense to me or others like me, I suppose, but you know, it's one thing for us to be critics, and we've never played for the program. We don't have the same ties to it. You know, I'm a lifelong fan. I want to see the program succeed and do well. I don't want to be on this show or any of the other shows that I'm part of each week talking about, oh, another loss, time to move on from head coach. Is that the right move? I want to be talking about contending for a college football playoff. Just being competitive in the Big Ten against some of the teams that are perceived to be the equals. But even earlier today, Brad, I'm sitting at home, and you know, granted, a lot of Wisconsin games this year have been 11 a.m., 2:30. There haven't been a lot of chances to just sit back and watch some college football on a Saturday. I'm watching Rutgers-Purdue, Northwestern-Nebraska. These are not teams that are blowing away the competition. They're teams that have their flaws, no doubt. But they just look like they're run more competently right now than what Wisconsin looks like. And whether that's because they're down to a third-string quarterback and a fourth-string running back at one point last week against the number one team in the country, because they're on the road at Alabama and they're playing these tough games against Michigan and Oregon and whoever else is left on the schedule this year. Indiana is obviously an incredible program, the way that they've built that up under Cignetti. It's not going to get easier the rest of this season. I think we know what this the story is already written on what the 2025 Wisconsin football season is. It's just a matter of, you know, putting the fine print and the fine details in the last couple of chapters. And tonight at Oregon is, you could view it, an opportunity to try and write the course and see what's going to happen. And hopefully it's a step in the right direction positively. But even if Wisconsin were to beat Oregon, even if they were to beat Illinois in a few weeks, even if they were to win any of these big games down the stretch, I don't know if that, at this point, if one win is going to correct anyone's mind on where this thing is now going.
Yeah, it would be such an outlier in all of the trends that we see, right? Could you, if they were to beat the teams that you just said, it would be such an outlier in all the other data points that we have. And the question is, like, what does this team and what does this organization do well? I can't think of anything that they consistently do well. And I look back and I really am dumbfounded by what this team and what this organization and program has become. Because at the time, it did feel like the right hire. I celebrated it. I was like, wow, Luke Fickell, we are really swinging for the fences. Good for Mac. And, you know, where it's gotten to doesn't make any sense. And Coach Fickell, I mean, he's not an unlikable guy. Like, if you ever talk to him, he's generally a good dude, and I feel the same way about Mac. Now, do they have like a, I don't know, like a coach Brett Bielema bravado, or like a Barry Alvarez bravado, or you know, sort of an energy? I'm trying to think of other coaches that are on the league, but
well, quite frankly, with a sub 500 record in 2.5 years, you can't have that bravado the way that this
has
gone. No, you can't.
That's true. You can't, but. You know, but there's just a disconnect. There's a disconnect at so many levels, and I'm just trying to see. I'm trying to figure out if it's salvageable at this point, because I know that that was a lot of the basis of Mac's email to who I was on the email list somehow. I was on the Wisconsin Athletics email list.
I did not receive the email, okay, so lucky you.
And so, you know, Mac to double and triple down is really a remarkable it's a remarkable thing to do, sandwiched between Ohio State and Oregon. Like, it's truly a remarkable time to do it, because we have no confidence that it's going to be in any better result this week. So that's where I just start to wonder and start to become a little bit fearful of, like, boy, is Chris McIntosh going to hang on for another season, even though we've seen nothing but a negative trend for this program? So only time will tell, but I'm not sure they're going to win at all the rest of the year. And even if they do, I'm not sure that would change my mind.
We are going to have some fun throughout the rest of the show, I promise. Adam Mertz, who's usually part of our third host on this pregame show, he is at the game in Eugene. So we're going to check in with Mertzy as he's counting down to kickoff out west. We're going to hear from Barry Alvarez earlier this week on the Barry Alvarez Show. We'll make our game picks, all the fun things we typically do. We might even get some fun fan engagement with a couple of fans that want to stop by out here at headquarters in Oregon to be part of a game we're going to play a little bit later in the pregame show. One final thought on this. So Coach Alvarez, I host the show with him every week on ESPN Madison, the Barry Alvarez Show. You can listen to it on the ESPN Wisconsin app. Watch on the ESPN Madison YouTube channel each week. And every week we're getting hundreds of live viewers tuning in to see what Coach Alvarez has to say.
Sure.
And even if he's defending Coach Fickell and Chris McIntosh, that's picking up newsworthy comments every week. So it's been really tremendous being able to hear that insight from the most successful head football coach in Wisconsin football history, and Coach Alvarez, every week. And it's certainly a different game than when he coached or even when he was the athletic director not that long ago. He has been one of the main advocates saying that it's pointless to fire the head coach in the middle of the season at this point, because if you don't have another candidate on the staff who you want to see in that role, thinking that long-term, for the sake of your program, you want to give him a shot, a la Jim Leonard a couple of years ago, there's no point in firing Luke Fickell and just showing that message to the rest of this team. You know, Penn State makes that change because they're hoping that they can rally some momentum early in the year with a lot of room still to go to be bowl eligible. And at the time when they fired Coach Frank, I think they thought maybe they could, you know, turn things around, be a college football playoff team, or at least be bowl eligible. Wisconsin, knowing the schedule, knowing what it looks like, knowing the quarterback situation, it just doesn't look like that's going to happen this year. So as loud as everyone has been, you know, the fire Fickell chants that we heard starting in the Maryland game and since, I think even if that ends up being the end result, it's clearly not going to happen during the next 5 weeks. And
which is probably the right thing to do.
It would have happened if it was already going to happen. So I think, you know, if you are an advocate that it's time to move on from Coach Fickell, you are certainly right to have that opinion. There is plenty of evidence, and you are not alone in having that opinion. It's not going to happen during the season, it would appear. And that's just something that I think everyone is going to have to come to terms with as a Wisconsin football fan. And I guess if you're not content with that, then I don't know what you're watching the rest of the season for, quite frankly.
Well, and one quick thing to add, I would probably say that's the right decision. I don't know what you're going to gain by firing him. And let's just be honest, too. I know that you know, these kids get paid now, so it's a little bit different than, you know, pure love of the game and scholarships like when I was playing. But the reality is, these kids only get like 4 or 5 years to play college football. So that would be a big disruption, right, to like throw another guy in there. And you probably change the schedule and you change the vibes and all the things. It's better. As a player, I'm looking through the player's lens. If I'm playing under Coach Fickell right now, and unless I truly hate playing for him, which I don't gather anybody does, you're just better off just to ride it out with him and make the decision after the Minnesota game.
844-770-3776 is the Carbless ESPN Wisconsin Talk and Text line. List is more. That's your way into the show. Share your thoughts as we continue the countdown to kickoff tonight for Wisconsin and 6th-ranked Oregon in Eugene. We will make our game picks, one of our pledges to you on this pregame show. We don't make you wait till the end to hear what our game picks are. We're going to do them right away coming up next. Here from headquarters in Oregon. We're in Oregon. They're in Oregon. Oh, it's so good. ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day brought to you in part by Everlight Solar. Save money, save the planet. Ditch the energy bill. Make the switch over to Everlight Solar, your local solar energy company based in Madison. Visit EverlightSolar.com to learn more and make the switch today. Everlight Solar, proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics. Game picks coming your way next on ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day, live at headquarters in Oregon, brewed by Coors Light. ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day live at headquarters, bar and restaurant in Oregon. They have everything here. Indoor golf league going on throughout the winter months. You know, everybody's always looking for opportunities to take some swings during the winter months here at headquarters in Oregon. You can do that. Got the volleyball outside for the summer. Garage area. I'm sure you open that up in the beautiful fall and springtime with the breeze flowing through here. Gosh, this place is fun. Outstanding location here just off of the highway here in Oregon. So come on out. We're here till 6 o'clock. You can watch the game here all evening long or each and every week. Headquarters in Oregon, an outstanding spot to order a Coors Light. I've seen some of the food come by, Brad Norman. It looks
pretty good. The menu is within arm's reach, and I'm thinking, I can't wait to place my own
order. It happens to be dinner time, although I've heard on Kyle Bruston Norman while to decide what you want, so maybe
it
you
does.
Should
I mean,
start looking at that now.
I mean,
by 5 o'clock,
places like this, how could I decide?
ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day is brewed by Coors Light. We're also brought to you in part by Celebrations Entertainment. With Celebrations Entertainment, planning events has never been easier. They have complete event services for weddings, corporate events, nonprofit events, outdoor movies, casino nights, and much more fun. Visit CelebrationsEntertainment.com to get started today. Celebrations Entertainment, fun, memorable events. Our promise to you each week on ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day, we do not keep you waiting until the end of the show for our game predictions. We make them early, and then we spend the rest of the show defending why we've made our picks. Usually the team's a little better, and we can have some more fun with that debate. Instead, we're where we're at. But regardless, it's time for our game picks.
Will we be jumping around?
Big win for Luke Fickell and Wisconsin.
Or will it be heartbreak for the Badgers?
Feel bad for the Badgers. They gave it their all. One too many mistakes.
It's time to make our picks on ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day.
Former Badger, Big Ten champion Brad Norman, it's been so long since we've been in person doing this together. I give you the honors.
Well, thank you for giving me the honors. I guess the big question that we all have before we reveal is, do they cover the spread? Last I thought 31.5 points. I think it opened at 34.5. My answer is an emphatic no, they do not. 49-6 is what I have the Oregon Ducks beating the Wisconsin Badgers tonight, 49-6. They do score two field goals, but it's like third and fourth quarter. I don't think they score in the first half. I think Oregon, their offense is so efficient. They're so fast. They're dynamic. I think the Wisconsin Badgers defense, if you're trying to like really squint and see like, okay, where is a positive? The defense is not horrible, right? The defense is fairly feisty, and they're not horrible. Now, good teams certainly get the best of them, but Oregon's just too good, too fast. Eugene's a hard place to play, so they're going to put up 49 points. And I think they're going to eke their way to two field goals nearing the end of the game. 49-6, Oregon flies.
Let's go back to the Everlight Solar Studio at ESPN Madison. He's the host of the ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day postgame show alongside Corey Sparks. Riley Yauch, your official game prediction for Wisconsin and sixth-ranked Oregon.
Yeah, I think Dan Lanning, he strikes me as a guy that holds a grudge, and I don't think he's going to be too fond about the fact that the Badgers only lost by 3 last season to the Ducks. I think it's going to be a bloodbath. Oregon wins 56-7. I also have Wisconsin scoring. I think the rain will contribute to something stupid happening where the Badgers' defense finds a way to scoop up a fumble or something and take it to the house late in the game. I don't think the Oregon offense is going to struggle, even with the rain. It won't be close. Dan Lanning's going to rub it in a bit, and the Ducks cruise to victory tonight.
Let me give you a couple of numbers here. Passing offense in all of college football, FBS college football, Oregon is second. Defensively against the pass, Wisconsin's defense ranked 102nd. Total offense, Oregon is 6th. Total defense, Wisconsin is 47th, and that's the bright spot of the team.
Yeah.
Oregon has a history going back to last year under Dan Lanning. That when they're in competitive, tough games, which typically come on the road in Big Ten play, they can be in some dogfights, as we saw at Camp Randall Stadium last year. Wisconsin had a lead in the fourth quarter and had a real chance to upset the number one team in the country. This year in particular, Oregon is trying to leave no doubt that they want to be ranked as high as possible for a chance at a college football playoff run, just like they wanted to have last year before it came to an end at the hand of Big Ten opponent Ohio State in the Rose Bowl. Scores this year for the Oregon Ducks of note. Week one against Montana State, 59-13, covered the spread. Mm. Week two, Oklahoma State, 69-3, covered the spread. Home against Oregon State, 41-7, covered the spread. 56-10 at Rutgers last week. Cross-country road trip, covered the spread. I think Wisconsin is in for a bloodbath tonight at the hands of the Oregon Ducks. They are trying to do everything to bolster their resume for a playoff run, and I don't think they take their foot off the gas pedal tonight, rain or shine. My original pick was 58-0 that Wisconsin gets shut out, because I was going to say until they prove they can score a point, I'm no longer going to pick them to score any points. Because it's going to be some difficult weather potentially out in Eugene forecasted, I agree with Riley. I'll bring that down a little bit from my original pick from a couple of days ago. 55-0 is going to be my pick tonight. I'll take 3 points off the board. They won't kick a field goal. 55-0, Oregon defeats Wisconsin. That is my pick. Until the Badgers prove they can score a point, I will not pick them to score a point.
I can't argue with any of your picks. They all kind of reflect one another. And the difference with this Oregon team especially is that they continue the trend of having an elite offense, right? It's their defense that's really good this year. It's their defense that's going to put them in a position to win a national championship, potentially. They're ninth in points scored on defense this year in all of college football. Now, Wisconsin just played Ohio State, who's number one overall, and Oregon is quite good. They've got a couple of studs that I'm sure we're going to break down later in the show to keep an eye on. But there's just not a lot to be optimistic about. And I'm not going to lie, too. This has to be one of the most distracted weeks that these young men have ever experienced in their life, because all the fanfare with Max Letters and all the talk about Coach Fickell maybe not getting fired and all the things, and you're sandwiched between two elite opponents and you're going to the West Coast. There's nothing easy. There's nothing regular about this week, I'm sure these guys had. So it's just going to be ugly. It's just going to be ugly. I would be shocked, utterly shocked, if Wisconsin covers the spread.
Let's keep in mind this is a team that had 6 points against Maryland in Madison until the final drive with the backup quarterback, the fourth string quarterback, coming in and leading the team down the field. This whole thing has been a disaster.
That might be the most damning part of Coach Fickell's tenure is it was a swing and miss with Coach Longo, and he had an opportunity to right that wrong, right? If you consider it a wrong, which he fired him, so he clearly thought it was wrong,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
And so in an opportunity to reset, he hires Coach Grimes, doesn't necessarily refill the roster as far as studs, and you have a worse offense than you ever have. So I think if there's one thing that's really damning, is that Coach Fickell has opportunity for a second chance on offense, and it's gone completely wrong. It's worse than it was before.
Those are our picks for tonight. Wisconsin and sixth-ranked Oregon, and they are fueled by Pepsi. Enjoy Pepsi, a proud partner of the Wisconsin Badgers. Get game day ready with Pepsi, the taste that scores every time, unlike the Wisconsin football team. Try Pepsi Zero Sugar, the perfect drink for your tailgate party and a tasty mixer on Wisconsin. Pepsi, proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics. When we come back on the other side, we will be joined by someone who I'm sure is having a much better time than the Wisconsin football team, and that's Adam Mertz, who is going to watch the Wisconsin football team in Eugene. Adam Mertz joins us next, live from Oregon. Jesse Nelson, Brad Norman in Oregon at headquarters on ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day, brewed by Coors Light. 'Cause I'm back in the saddle like some old cat. ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day, brewed by Coors Light, live at headquarters in Oregon. Jesse Nelson, former Badger Big Ten champion, host of Kyle Bruston Nortman, Brad Nortman. We're with you till 6 o'clock, counting down to kickoff for Wisconsin and Oregon. You get it? Wisconsin's in Oregon. We're at headquarters in Oregon.
Nice.
You're gonna get it by the end of the night. It's okay, Brad. ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day, brought to you by Canopy Wealth Management, where they carry
Thanks, Riley. Canopy Wealth Management carries a long-standing tradition of working in the best interest of their clients every day. The team at Canopy emphasizes building local relationships and believes that values matter and strengthen their communities. At Canopy, care, competence, and clarity isn't just a tagline. It's a promise. Go to canopy-wealth.com to get started today. So a little bit of a delay in getting to our friend Adam Mertz out in Oregon. He is en route to Autzen Stadium, I believe, is the current situation for our pal Mertzy. So rather than bothering while he's in a car full of his friends, we are going to catch up with him coming up in a little bit. I think the top of the 5 o'clock hour here, Central Time.
Excellent.
We'll catch up with Adam Mertz a little closer to kickoff. So instead of hearing from Adam Mertz, let's take an opportunity to hear from Jim Rutledge. He's on after you guys in Madison every day. Jim, Matt, and Molly. Presented by Coors Light, weekdays 4 to 6 on ESPN Madison and the ESPN Madison YouTube channel. He's also the host of The Jump Around every Thursday, ESPN Wisconsin's Badgers-dedicated digital show. New episodes debut at 12:30 every Thursday afternoon. Jim Rutledge with some strong commentary on the state of Wisconsin football earlier this week. I want to play this for you and hear what Brad Nortman has to say.
So if they're going to get back to Badger football, which the first step is be entertaining, is you got to find the guys in Wisconsin and nearby who will build that culture for you, which goes back to Luke Fickell showing up at high schools and doing the due diligence to find out who these players are, because they don't have to be from Wisconsin, just go ask Chris Orr. But regardless, you need the culture builders, the lower star guys, to come in here and be here for a long time and want to be a Badger, want to graduate as a Badger, and want to represent the W, and then add in some name and liking players. Like, this roster needs to have a good, ideally 50% of it is just Badger lifers. And then the other 50%, if you need to change that out, fine. But if you have the Badger leaders in here, the Badger culture guys, that will establish the culture that every player coming in understands the standard is the standard.
Jim Rutledge earlier this week on The Jump Around, along with Pablo Iglesias. Jim and Pablo every Thursday, weekday, new episodes weekly, I should say, at 12:30 on Thursdays on the ESPN Madison YouTube channel. For those of you watching this show on YouTube, you saw the full clip produced by Riley Yauch. Well done, Riley, back in the studio. Brad, you alluded to this a little bit during our opening segment. For those who weren't here with us, or to reiterate, Jim said a lot of the same points you were mentioning about connecting with the schools across the state.
Yeah, he said it very eloquently and very well, because, you know, the question is, why does it matter? Why does it matter to have Wisconsin guys on your team? And I'm going to tell you why it matters. One, they provide a bit of a culture setting for the university, for the program, because if you've got guys that are from the state of Wisconsin, that grew up being Badger fans, let's be honest, like, Wisconsin football players are sort of bred in a certain way, and they might not be the best players on your team. Now, sometimes they are. I'm talking about J.J. Watt and Joe Thomas and people like that, but many times they're not. Maybe times they're special teams guys, or they're O-linemen, or whatever, or a punter, if you will. And in those moments, when they're even not the best guys, or even their practice squad, whatever, they set a DNA for the team, right? They have a true love of the university. They have a true love for the program. They have a true love for wearing the Motion W on their helmet. And when you do that, that can bleed into the other guys that you get from Texas and New Jersey and Florida and wherever else. So one is a culture setter. Number two, you don't want your team to be transactional by nature, right? Like, I mean, that's sort of the life that you're living in NIL right now, is transactional. But I think that any coach would say we don't want to be a transactional program, because how can you build culture? How can you build buy-in like that? Well, if you don't want transactional people on your team, you get to a little of an inside track doing that with some loyalty from Wisconsin guys. It sets, I think, look at a guy like Cade Iacomelli, right? I mean, he's a guy on the team who's a bruiser. He runs the ball hard. He's been on the program for several years now. He probably had opportunities to transfer. Hunter Wohler, who is now an Indianapolis Colt, he could have probably went anywhere, but he decided to stick it out. Why? Because they're Wisconsin guys. They like Wisconsin. They love this team. And they want to be able to be here for the long term, not just a transactional year by year. Finally, NIL is clearly a lifeblood of sorts of any given college program. You need to fundraise, which is on Mac and Fickell. You need to get the coffers filled, and then you need to select the right guys to do it. But there's always going to be a feeling of there's just not enough money to go around. We'd love to go get this five-star. We'd love to go get this transfer, but there's not enough money to go around. Therefore, some parts of your roster will need to be a discount of sorts. Wisconsin guys will take a discount to go play for the Wisconsin Badgers. They just will. I don't know if somebody gets offered $1 million versus $100,000 at Wisconsin, they would pass up the $1 million. They probably won't. But there is marginal discounts that Wisconsin kids would take to go play at Camp Randall, to be a Badger, and you can accumulate a lot of guys that are your DNA, your culture setter. You get discounts in NIL, and you get guys that are willing to stick around for at least several years, not just 1 year at a time. For all those reasons, you're able to build a program that looks like the state, that the state's things that we emphasize, grit and hard work and discipline and toughness, those things will be embodied on your team, and you get to have all the benefits of NIL. So looking back, and Jim said this, Chris Orr is from Texas, and he's a stud. We always had great Wisconsin teams, the teams that I were on, that went to Rose Bowls. It was a delicate balance of guys from out of state, but it's almost like they were Wisconsin at heart, right? The way that they were bred up and the way they worked and the way they disciplined. But you have some Wisconsin guys, you have some guys from out of state, and it weaves together to make a really beautiful program. And you just don't have that right now. And when things go bad, you're wondering, what's happening? Why does this team have no passion and no life? Well, you can point to a lot of things, but one of the things is an underrepresentation of Wisconsin kids and any sort of Wisconsin DNA that looks like how it used to look like in the past.
Wow. Lots of unpack. Very well said in so many ways.
Thank you.
A thought that came to mind as you were explaining all of that, and I agree wholeheartedly with everything you just laid out. That was fantastic. I think when you look at the college basketball team, the men's basketball team, Greg Gard, one of the knocks on him was the in-state recruiting for a bit. And it wasn't that, okay, Tyler Hero is going to play 1 year at Kentucky or guys going to Duke for a year and then going to the NBA. Like, mm-hmm. That's not
Knipple.
The kind of player. Yeah, Con Knipple, another example. Yeah, those aren't the guys we're talking about recruiting in-state. It's the guys like Tyrese Halliburton and Brandon Pajemski and Tyrese Hunter and Jordan McCabe, guys that go play Division I basketball at another Power 4, Power 5 at the time conference, and go on to play in the NBA. It's like, how come we couldn't have that guy after they played 4 years of college basketball somewhere else? Why couldn't that person come and play at Wisconsin? It feels like that's kind of what you're explaining. Like, if there's, you know, these outstanding recruits in the state who want to go play at Notre Dame or at Ohio State, like, no one's going to knock those guys for pursuing that. That's an right. amazing opportunity for them to further their careers. It's the guys who want to come to Wisconsin that aren't getting the opportunity. And that's what's difficult right now watching this recruiting going the way that it is. And I think that's what you're elaborating. You know, I don't know if the analogy works perfectly, but
yeah.
I think that's what you're essentially laying out is there's guys across the state who may not be five-star, amazing, you know, instant freshman starter, Heisman Trophy candidate talent. But there's guys that are the tone setters for this program that need to be here as the very minimum foundation for where this thing doesn't fall apart and crumble to the point that it is this season.
Yeah, I would say you're exactly right. And there really are. People could push back, and when I said this on KBN, they're like, oh, and Wisconsin's such a great, you know, football recruiting state, right? Sort of saying it sarcastically. Well, I would say that year after year, you get guys, when the program was at its best, you get guys that come in, whether from Wisconsin or the Midwest, that they grow and develop. And maybe you tell me that this is not a developmental environment anymore. I would argue that Wisconsin kids would stay in the program. They would stay in the program. They would want to stay close to home, and they would develop along the way. So maybe they're not a five-star as a freshman, but by the time they're a junior and a senior, you can get a portion of your roster that looks like the old college football. A Wisconsin kid that wants to play for your team, maybe for a discount, is willing to stick around, and by the time he reaches a junior or senior, he is able to be the guy that you want him to be, where he's a major contributor. J.J. Watt's a great example. Now, listen, I'm not going to say that that's the standard, you know, a future Hall of Famer, but he went to school in Pewaukee. I knew him in high school. We used to work out together. When he transferred to Wisconsin, he was just a guy. Like, he was just a guy who was, like, really likable and worked really hard, and you saw him transform into who he is. Now, he took it to levels that nobody could have ever imagined, but that's a great example where he was not highly recruited. He came to Wisconsin, and he just worked his butt off to become this elite college player and elite NFL player. So you just don't know how it's going to turn out. But if you close the door to Wisconsin kids from the start, then you can never have a story like J.J. Watt.
So let me ask this question then as a necessary follow-up. And it's kind of a two-parter. Number one, can that model still exist in today's college football? Can you bring someone in, develop for a year or two, be an in-state guy, not a highly recruited player, but at a Power 4 school in this massive loaded Big Ten without an East and West now, where you're playing the big dogs every single year, and you run this gauntlet of a scout? Can you still follow that model to succeed at this level of college football?
I think part of your roster can. I don't think it can be your full roster. It used to be where Wisconsin would just recruit these guys and build them up. By the time they're juniors and seniors, they're there. I think that can be a portion of your roster. I do think you have to work the portal. I do think you need to bring guys in that will be a 1 or 2 year fill-in. But I don't think that can be your whole roster. I don't think that can be your plan. I don't think that can be your what you're totally set on. I think you can have a portion of your roster be guys that you can bring in. And we'll be honest, too, the structure of NIL needs to change. Right? There needs to be more of a long-term agreement. When you commit to Wisconsin and we give you whatever, fill-in-the-blank money, that's you get that over 3 years. This is a three-year contract, so that would embed the developmental aspect of the program even more. But even without that, I think that you fill in some of your roster. Like you're building a pro football team, right? You draft and develop some. You do free agency some. And you just work it together to make that team. So I think it can exist, not like it did in the past, but a portion, absolutely.
And last part of that question. At Wisconsin, is this team capable of doing that and being competitive in the Big Ten, specifically at Wisconsin? Does this model work given the current structure?
I think it's the only way Wisconsin will be able to be competitive. I don't think Wisconsin will ever be able to outspend Michigan and Ohio State and Oregon. It won't be able to attract the athletes to go there, and it won't be able to attract people in the transfer portal. You see it year after year. So specifically for Wisconsin, I think right now it's the only way. The only way is you bring in guys that are loyal to the program, that are willing to be developed, and then you tack on some transfer guys, and that's how you make the team year in and year out. I don't see another strategy for how to do it. I think this regime went too much to the, we are going to recruit guys that are not Wisconsin's. We're just going to bring them all in, and we're going to bang on the portal to try to fill up our team. I think some programs can do that, but I don't think it's Wisconsin. I think that's the only way that this team is going to be able to do it. Now, we've never been able to see it in practice, so I'm talking purely in theory, but I don't think they survive or flourish without a balance of both.
We used to do a game called Flush It or Flesh It on this show, and I feel like we just went down that road here. That game was presented by the Gordon Flesh Company. ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day brought to you in part by Gordon Flesh. For more than 65 years, Gordon Flesh Company has been providing cutting-edge technology for companies of all sizes as the nation's largest Canon and Lexmark dealer. That's business technology managed. Visit gflesh.com to learn more. ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day, brewed by Coors Light. Great conversation. Thank you for taking part in that with
Absolutely.
Me, Brad. We'll hear a little bit more on thoughts on the state of the program from the guy who used to lead it, both as a head coach and as the director of athletics, Barry Alvarez. The best of Barry straight ahead on ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day, brewed by Coors Light.
A scoreboard update driven by Metro Ford of Madison.
Good evening, Wisconsin. My name is Riley Yauch, and it's time to look around the country for our Metro Ford of Madison scoreboard update. Let's start in the Big Ten. Washington out in Seattle, up 11 on the 23rd-ranked Illinois Fighting Illini. They lead that one 28-17 late in the third quarter. The Huskies looking to spring the upset. Hey, Badgers fans, Iowa, they might beat Minnesota worse than they beat us. So some positives today. The Hawkeyes pasting the Golden Gophers right now as the third quarter comes to a close. 34-3. I will say Minnesota was able to score a point. Number two, Indiana, 56-6 winners over UCLA. They continue to roll. Badgers have to see them in a few weeks, so probably a similar score upcoming there. Nebraska survives against Northwestern, winning 28-21, and Rutgers defeats Purdue 27-24. Some other top 25 matchups. Ole Miss beats Oklahoma 34-26. Georgia Tech handles Syracuse. Virginia survives 17-16 against North Carolina, and Alabama in a tight one right now with South Carolina.
Metro Ford of Madison, Madison's trusted Ford dealership. Learn more at metrofordofmadison.com.
ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day brewed by Coors Light live at headquarters in Oregon alongside former Badger punter Brad Norman. My name is Jesse Nelson. It's ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day brewed by Coors Light. Also brought to you in part by Bruner Realty. If you've been waiting to buy your next home, stop. Now is the time to get housed. For over 30 years, Bruner Realty has been providing excellent real estate and property management services in the Madison area. Contact their team at BrunerRealtyInc.com to get started today. That's BrunerRealtyInc.com. Former Bucky Badger, my realtor that I trusted when my wife Beck and I went through our home buying process, Stacy Bruner, and the great team over at Bruner Realty. One of his favorite memories being Bucky was running out at the Rose Bowl, just like you playing against Oregon in the Rose Bowl back in the day.
It's a moment, man. It's a scene. Nothing quite like the Rose Bowl.
The last time Wisconsin and Oregon played out west was at the Rose Bowl. They haven't played in Eugene at Autzen Stadium since 2001. Wisconsin and Oregon kickoff coming up about a little over an hour from right now. The head coach at the time of that game was the legendary Barry Alvarez. Barry Alvarez joins us on ESPN Madison every week for the Barry Alvarez Show. Let's hear some what the head coach had to say. It's time for the best of Barry.
Let's hear what the coach had to say.
Why did they do that? Because it makes sense. If you got a half a yard, you start a yard away. You start closer. You don't have to run 5 yards. I'd run that clock. That game would be over. We'd be home having cocktails at 3:30.
This is the best of Barry.
Don't be so touchy.
On ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day.
Barry Alvarez each week on the Barry Alvarez Show alongside Rose Bowl champions Tarek Salah, Derek Engler, and me. I host that show.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's a lot of fun hosting the show. We get to hear from Barry Alvarez every single week. We were at the Hard Rock Casino Rockford this week, on the stage in front of the Hard Rock Cafe. I was invited to play craps with them after the game, and I am not confident enough in the rules of craps to go stand it. And it was a crowded table. I told the story on Wildy and Tausch on Tuesday morning. I chickened out.
You didn't place a bet at all?
I didn't. I sat at one of the video blackjack machines, like right next to it, while Derek and Barry were playing craps at the. They're shooting dice, and they won a ton. It was a hot table, but they were packed in wall to wall, shoulder to shoulder. So I sat off to the side of my little video blackjack machine playing, and I won $20, but that wasn't the story. So I have. We're gonna be back at the Hard Rock Casino with Barry in a couple of weeks. So I have 2 weeks, I think, to learn the rules of craps confidently enough to go to the table.
You got it.
Stand next to Coach and have him, you know, be my partner for the night at Hard Rock Casino Rock.
You can simplify it, or at a minimum, just mirror their bets. Maybe just take out a zero.
Yeah, just there's something about sevens where you need a seven and then you don't need a seven later. Yeah. It's complicated. I don't really understand it. So we'll figure it out. In the meantime, we did actually talk college football over the 2 hours with Coach Alvarez, not just, you know, getting ready to shoot some dice, as they like to say. Barry Alvarez addressing the fire everybody sentiments that many of the Wisconsin fans have at this juncture in the season. So here is what Coach Alvarez had to say.
They have a chance, right? So just freaking go. We'll get it. And listen, everybody has a right to say what they want to say, right? Would we rather be constructive? Yeah, because everybody could just tell everybody, fire everybody, fire everybody.
I don't know. I think we've been pretty constructive.
I know. That's what we're doing. But I'm just saying people ask, why are we so –
you're talking about online and
all
the
whoever,
comments.
Yeah, whoever, the critics.
That's an easy thing to do. If you've never played, if you've never coached
– you don't know anything.
The first thing you do, things go south a little bit, fire everybody. Then what the hell are you going to do? Going to bring some knuckleheads in here that don't know anything about anything, and you start all over again. Then you're worse than where you started. So you hire people and you believe in them, you stick with them and support them until the time comes, if that comes, that you know that they can't get the job.
Hey, Coach.
That is Barry Alvarez talking on the fire everybody mentality, Brad. And I know, Kyle Bruston Nortman crew has been pretty loud on the fire everybody train.
Yeah. Kabuna bar.
you did play, so you know, I don't know about Derek Engler may have been caught in the moment saying you don't know anything if you didn't play. I don't know if he really thinks that, but what do you think of what Barry said there?
Well, I think what they're referring to is if you don't know what goes into being a coach or being a player, because we just see 3 hours on Saturday. But let me tell you, that is literally the definition of the tip of the iceberg. It's indescribable the amount of preparation, mental, physical, film, meetings. I mean, it's insane the amount of time that you spend in college or pros getting ready for a game. So in that capacity, I do agree. Like, fans don't know what goes into how hard it is. And everyone else is doing that too. So I think that everybody doesn't appreciate how hard it is. So I think if he's referring to that, then I agree. Now, to say that you can't have an opinion and you can't voice your opinion if you never played or never coached, that I disagree with, because these are like NIL is the lifeblood of a program. You need fans, and fans spend their hard-earned money playing or watching the Badgers play at Camp Randall, at home, buying sweatshirts like I have on, which is a Wisconsin Badgers sweatshirt. So fans are what it's all about, and fans are the ultimate I don't want to say judgment, but they're the ultimate jury on if you are satisfied with the program. And then you have to some degree cater to the fan, not fully, but some degree you have to have their ear. So, you know, Coach Alvarez said, like, you stick with your guy until he proves he can't do the job. I agree with that. And I just think we have different definitions of if this regime can do the job, because I think he's proving that he cannot do the job.
One more clip from Coach Alvarez with Tarik Salah, Derek Engler, and me on Monday night. The Hard Rock Casino Rockford is where we were for the Barry Alvarez show. Talking to much of what our theme has been here for the first hour of our pregame show, getting out and meeting people across the state. Here's what Coach Alvarez had to say on the recruiting matter.
We're trying to create interest, and then once we had interest, then you, whatever you're looking for, you had an avenue to get to a lot of people about what you wanted. And tell your story and be press some flesh with a lot of fans, so they know you personally. They know the head coach, they know the assistant coaches. Our guy, you just can't sit back and say we need this, we need that, we need that. Get out in the state and let the people meet you and sell the program. Know who you are. And this state will embrace. They will embrace you. They did.
And Coach Alvarez not only speaking on recruiting, but also on just familiarizing yourself and establishing that relationship for the head coach, the athletic director, and anyone else involved in the program with fans around the state.
Yeah, you know, Barry's right. I mean, he's saying Coach Alvarez. Excuse me, he is right to be saying. It's like what I was saying and what Jim was saying is that. You need, this is a relationship type environment, right? Like whether it be the alum, the boosters, the high school football coaches, recruits, like they buy into a leader. People follow leaders, right? And you can't be a leader until you build relationships. And I think that's just what's so confusing is because, again, Coach Fickell isn't particularly dislikable. I don't think anybody says, I dislike that person. I've never heard anybody say that. But there is a lack of intentionality that needs to be there as far as building a program, casting your vision, and saying, hey, follow me as I walk toward this vision that I am casting. And I think that vision was cast early on, and maybe there was some initial buy-in, but it's completely fizzled out, and there's just been a lot of frustration with following after what looks like now to be a lifeless program. So he is right, and this is why it's hard to be a head football coach in college football, right? You got to do it all. You got to fundraise. You got to recruit. You have to coach, actually. And you have to do all of it. You don't do one of them well, you're going to struggle.
The best of Barry Alvarez. You can hear the Barry Alvarez show regularly airing on Monday nights starting at 6 o'clock on ESPN Madison and the ESPN Madison YouTube channel. You can also go back and listen anytime you want on the ESPN Wisconsin app. Liberty Stations. Over on the west side of Madison, just off the Beltline, they run a game day shuttle program during home games this football season. It is the best deal in sports. For just $20, get a Coors Light in hand, a round-trip ride to Camp Randall Stadium. No worrying about parking downtown, fighting for the positioning, losing out on a ticket. And all you got to do is go over to Liberty Station Seafood and Smokehouse, and you just get, boom, you get your ticket, you get your Coors Light, you hop on the shuttle, good shape. It all starts at Liberty Station American Tavern and Smokehouse, located off the Beltline on Rimrock Road, the official caterer of ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day at our tailgate parties down on Regent Street. I don't think Adam Mertz brought any Liberty Station out with him to Eugene. He should have if he didn't. We'll see if he has any food in hand as he joins us next. The regular co-host here of ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day, Adam Mertz, live from Oregon with Jesse Nelson and Brad Nortman live. Where are we, Brad?
Oregon.
That's in Wisconsin. It's coming up next. Adam Mertz. It's ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day, brewed by Coors Light.